time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It's July 13th. It's Friday the 13th.
I like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it was until I just looked at the date.
Yeah, Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Is that like a big deal for you?
It's a lucky number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a lucky number, but not for everybody, right?
You know what? Then you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, I met this guy the other day, and he was saying how he used to be so paranoid with the number 13 that if anything, like, and he would be like crazy, like if it were, he were going somewhere into an interview or an audition or whatever, and the clock added up, like all the numbers added up to 13, which 1 + 3 = 4. And I'll tell you what 13 actually means. So it goes up to 13. He would wait another minute before to walk in.
Really?
I'm like, that's just crazy. That's so weird. But yeah, the Chinese astrology, like numerology, I mean, the number 4 is death. So I guess that's where like 13 comes from. Like 1 + 3 = 4. You know, like all the numerology stuff. So yeah, 4 isn't a greatest number, but you know what? The number 13, I have no issue with.
Yeah, I know. I don't know where it really came from, you know, the origin of it. But I mean, that makes sense what you're saying, you know, but I don't know. I don't think it has to do with Chinese. It's more like a Christian thing, I think.
It is, but I'm saying the astrology, it's interesting if you look at the numerology, what that equals. But yeah, it does come from a Christian thing, and whatever. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not going to talk about it. I'm done with that. But
yeah,
you know what is interesting is Mercury goes into retrograde again tomorrow. I don't know if you know what that means.
I hear that thrown around here quite a bit at the station, but I don't know what that means.
Okay, so basically it's retrograde week. So when things go in retrograde, they kind of go backwards. So if you've ever noticed, there's a period, like there's like time for like a couple months. This is like the worst. When Mercury's in retrograde, everything goes to shit. So like your computers stop working, your phones go berserk, like anything electronical, computer-wise, kind of gives you issues. Relationship-wise, you're going to have a lot of arguments. You just need to know to chill out. And so it's going into retrograde tomorrow, and it comes back out, I believe it's August 8th.
Okay, well, what I'm going to do is document all the shitty things that happened to me.
Yeah.
We'll see if it's like more than the average. You know?
You should. And another thing is, so it's also Uranus goes retrograde as well. So we've got Uranus, which I know you know, you're like, what the hell does that mean? But there are a lot of people out there that are interested in this, so I'm just going to read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
But Uranus and Mercury both go into retrograde on consecutive days. But basically Uranus, and what Uranus does, it goes in reverse, and it slowly moves backwards until the middle of December. So it's basically saying that it's not the best time in your life to make the best changes, but you couldn't ask for a better opportunity to get ready to shake things up. So your chance will arrive 5 months from now to for big changes.
Right.
From now until then, don't plan on it.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Do you go to astrologists sometimes?
I do all the time.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, I go to psychics more so, but they're mostly astrology. They do both.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Mercury is going backwards until August 8th. But so basically, romantic and social encounters will be fraught with obstacles. So be careful and have patience. And again, watch all your computer shit, because anything in a car or automotive or electronical will go berserk usually.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. I know. So I just wanted to
say
that.
You know, I don't know about that.
Oh,
but, you know.
And also adding to these retrograde trials is a square between Saturn and Cancer Sun on the 14th, also tomorrow. Everything happens tomorrow. And it's all about emotional togetherness, but also straight to the point. So this could result in setbacks and possibly even discouragement. So just chill the fuck out until
exactly.
Until August 8th.
Stay fucking home. Don't go anywhere.
I know. And I'm like, this is a Debbie Downer for me because I have things planned.
Right.
You know, and I have a lot of actually...
Well, you
know,
got to stop living your life by the planets. That's what I say.
Do you know that a lot of the presidents, including like, I know Bush did this a while, and I think Clinton did it too. A lot of the presidents live by their astrologer. They actually will not make certain decisions. Did you know that there's like a White House astrologer?
No.
There is.
Really?
And they will not make certain decisions on certain bad days.
I know that, it was rumored that Nancy Reagan was using an astrologer, but, you know, other than that, I never heard of presidents doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure you know what you're saying?
I absolutely do. I forget it was in some science magazine or something. Remember, it's true. I know Bush did for a fact.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty
sure
Clinton did.
I'm not surprised about Bush, you know.
Oh, come on. Let's get off the, you know.
Yeah, let's not get into the politics.
Exactly.
And stuff, right? Yeah. I know. It's not a good idea to discuss politics with other people, you know, because it's people feel strongly about it.
You know, you're right. And I used to be that way. I mean, but I think I didn't know what I was talking about because I grew up, you know, okay, on the East Coast, everyone, obviously, the D.C.'s right there.
Right.
So I grew up around D.C.
A lot of politics.
All the politicians live in my neighborhood. Live all around me. So I grew up with, you know, politics everywhere. And my dad's like very and highly involved in politics. And he's a businessman, a big businessman, but he's also on the board of directors of Maryland for big business.
Oh, okay.
Like part of the, they made some boards. So it's like part of the Senate or something. I can't exactly remember, whatever. Anyway, they're complete right wing. Complete right wing.
Yeah.
And I grew up that way, hearing this over and over and thinking that's the right thing.
Right.
Moving away from home, thank God, you know, you learn society and
there's
you
more
learn
out there, huh?
There's way more out there.
Right.
And, you know, and you just, and I, and so for me, I'm in the middle kind of, like I'm not either way.
Right.
And the reason why is because I believe things on both sides.
Right.
You know, do I believe that every amount of dollar that you strive and you work your ass off from 6 a.m. till, you know, midnight, like my father has done his entire life up until now, you know, working, and then half of his paycheck goes away to someone else.
Right.
That's fucked up.
And to help other people that don't work.
Right. And that's not fair.
And that's don't want to work. Too.
Right.
Yeah.
And that to me is bothersome. And that to me, that pisses me off.
Yeah.
You know, and I see that. Then on the other hand, you know, then for that side, the Republican side, to say who I can marry, you know, you have to be, you can't be gay and lesbian. They don't recognize that. That's bullshit. Mm. You can't get abortion.
They don't want abortions, right?
That's bullshit.
Right.
You know, it's just like, oh, and there's the really church, I guess, old school oriented, and that bothers me.
Right.
I don't like too much government. Don't tell me what I can and can't do. I want to make my own decisions.
Right. Well, too much government is the left. You know, I mean, that's who wants.
Yeah.
Like Obama, he wants a big fucking government. You know, so
I'm to
decide. I know.
It's both. Like, that's why I'm like in the middle. It's like I don't know what to choose because I don't, for example, the whole like Obamacare, that is fucking shit.
Right.
You know, it pisses me off more than anything because, okay, now everyone's forced to have health insurance, but that doesn't help me out who's had health insurance for years and years and years.
Exactly. Now they're going to force you to have a certain health insurance you may not want.
Exactly.
And you have to pay. You're going to get penalized if you don't.
And I think that's wrong.
Yeah, that's redistribution. That's that's a leftist thing.
It bothers me badly with redistribution. I don't like it.
Yeah.
We're not a fucking communist society. We're not a social. You know what I mean? It completely bothers me.
Right.
So for those reasons, I can't stand the left side.
Right.
But for other reasons, I can't stand the right
side. Right.
So it's like, what the fuck do you choose?
Yeah.
So I choose to stay out of it.
Yeah, just stay. Yeah, focus on the issues rather than on the party.
Because back in the day, I would argue to a freaking T, and I'm a very good arguer.
Yeah.
I will argue, you know this. But it's just now, it's like, I don't see the point.
Because
there's nothing in the middle. And then if a party goes, like, if it was like a Ross Perot or whatever, whoever it was that was like in the middle, whenever like, and you kind of are like, okay, I kind of like this person who's in the middle and has a little bit of left and a little bit of right. And like, they're their own. They're not in a party. They're an individualist. Okay. But then if you do that and you vote for them, then you lose votes on the other two sides.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a lose-lose situation, you know? Yeah. It's just, yeah.
It is very hard. That's why you got to take sides, you know? I mean, that's the way our system is made.
It's just stupid. They should have a third side that's completely in the middle.
Well, there are libertarians, but they don't seem to do very well.
They don't do very well, but people should stand up. Because then again, I am completely for the environment, and I am for cleaning things up, and I am for peace, and I am for, you know, whatever. But then in the same sense, if you're fucking shit up over in, like, Iran or Iraq, you need to be told what to do. Exactly. Yeah. Someone's got to stand up, because you can't let the world just blow each other up. So in a way, I see that. So it just irritates me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's the thing. I think the more you read about it, the more you get into it, you start taking sides, you know, because you understand more of what's going on. But I feel similarly to you. You know, I mean, I lean to the right, but there's some things that, you know, I don't understand that the conservatives are doing, you know, and, you know, I personally don't think you get to choose whether you're gay or not, you know, and you know, since you don't get to choose, you know, you don't penalize people for that.
Yeah, you should never be able to tell someone you can't get married, or you can't do this. And I just think that's shit. If you love somebody, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, go for it.
Right.
I'm not saying you can marry an animal like that. I'm saying as a human being who has choices, you know, we should be able to make our own choices.
Right. Definitely. Now, what do you think about gays having kids?
I have no issue with that.
No issue with that at all.
I mean,
it makes sense, you know, because I'll tell you why. You know, on the one hand, you might think, well, this is not a good environment for the kid. You know, he's going to become gay and stuff. But the thing is, you don't just become gay.
You're born that way.
Exactly. Know? That's what people don't understand.
They don't understand. And what irritates me is like, look at animals. Okay, for example, I remember when I was younger, and it was the whole big gay issue was like, you know, this was like years and years ago in high school days. When it was a big battle back then, it was still hard for everybody. And I mean, it's still hard now, but it was more of that back then. And I remember walking in the park and seeing a bunch of ducks, okay? And the ducks were fucking each other. And guess what? They were male ducks.
Really?
Yes. And I took a picture of it. And my girlfriend and I were like, oh my gosh, look at this. Because you know the difference between male ducks and female ducks.
Right.
I don't know if you do, but we do. And because we grew up redneck.
Oh, you mean the difference? Okay.
Yeah. And they were male ducks with each other. And doing, I mean, given, I know, like, dogs, they hump each other for a dominance thing, whatever. These ducks were doing each other. And there are many animals in society, when a female is not around, they will just, even monkeys.
Really? They'll just do each other, huh?
Yep. Because they're just horny animals.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And so, that's, and then you can, like, research it more, and, like, I don't know enough about it to even go there, but it's just, like, people are born that way, just as animals are born that way, and you can't blame someone for how they are born, you know? That's just bullshit.
Yeah. I think our guest is calling, so let's go ahead and take that. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. This is Michelle Mattia.
Yes, Michelle. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. We're glad to have you guys on the air this morning.
Yeah, we were waiting for you to call. So where are you calling us from?
New York City, Manhattan.
Oh, okay, cool. I see there's another call. Is that another one?
That's Jennifer, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's Jennifer, okay. Let's see. Jennifer, is that you?
It's me.
Okay, hi. Okay, well, you reached the show, so we have both of you on the line. Now, so you're in New York City, both of you, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So sounds good. How's the weather there? Are you guys still very hot and sweaty, or is it better now?
You know, today is better than it has been. It's been, and I grew up in Florida, so for me to sit there and say it's hot and humid, it's been bad. But today it's a little overcast, which has cooled things off for us.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I think we're getting some of your weather over here. It's extremely humid.
Yeah, it's very muggy here, huh?
And I'm not used to that because I grew up in Maryland, and again, I have a place in Florida, so I know what it's like when you guys are saying. And it's come here for the first time in 10 years. It's never been like this.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going on?
It actually rained last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get to what you guys are calling about today. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and what you're calling about?
Get Your Voice On, a celebration of women. So tell us about that.
Well, Get Your Voice On is a new major women's conference that's starting next March in 2013 on the weekend of March 1st and 2nd. And it's a day and a half event that really is focused on having women and others all come together and understand how important it is for us to speak up and speak out about the things that we're interested in, things we're interested in getting involved in, creating, and working with other people on, including things in the corporate world, in the nonprofit world, as an entrepreneur, perhaps starting a new business, and even mompreneurs, moms who have had children and now are interested in either starting their own business or getting into business. This is something where it is a working event. It's not only a kumbaya. It's really something that brings people together and puts people in action. It's something that really allows for a 10-year movement to occur where people understand how important it is for you to actually use your voice, find that voice and use it in your life, in your business, in your relationships, in your family. It really is something that changes the world when we speak up.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's an event that you're going to have. So I would imagine you have an organization and everything that is behind this.
Well, actually, that's interesting. Get Your Voice On is Jennifer and I. Jennifer and I are the brainchildren of Get Your Voice On. And this actually was a result. It was inspired by another event that happened a couple of years ago. Took place in March, which, if you don't know, is Women's History Month. Mm-hmm. And it was the 100th anniversary of International Women's Day. And during that event, Jennifer and I kept, you know, bumping into each other when we were talking about that this event was great, but we knew it needed to be bigger. We knew it needed to be a little bit different. We knew it needed to bring people from women from all walks of life, not any one particular industry, not any one particular age group per se. And so it really was the two of us 6 months later after this event meeting in my apartment in the city. And just talking about things that we're passionate about with regards to women and speaking up and empowering their voice and giving themselves permission to step into their power. So to get your voice on, this event and conference stemmed from that. And what we ended up realizing is during that moment where we're like, yes, this is the name of the event, we realized that it was going to turn into a movement, and we realized it had to be more than just 1 year, which is why we are committed to doing it for the next 10 years. But in the meantime, with, you know, before next March is when our first launch is, our first event, in between all of that, we have a wonderful continuity program where women can stay connected and stay supported, because I'm sure both of you have attended conferences or events where you feel really pumped up in the moment. Mm. You're with your people, you're with your tribe, everybody's got this same idea that they can do something incredible, and then they go back home.
Right. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, all that energy is gone. Mm. And oftentimes they're back with people who might not be as supportive or are fearful that I might lose this person because this person is growing faster than I am. So we put into place, you know, utilizing social media and radio and things like that, where everybody that goes to these conferences stays connected and able to support each other. And if you're not able to make the first one, you've got the second one and the third one and so on.
Right.
I think that's just huge, too, like for empowering the women, but also empowering kids, like, you know, young girls as well to speak up and for all kinds of things. Like, I'm really involved in helping teenagers and runaway teens. And, you know, there's a lot of I can't even think, like, what do you call it? They're kidnapping of the children, but selling them. You know what I mean? I can't think of the word right now.
Sex trade.
Yeah, sex trade for the women. I mean, I just feel like if the more women speak up and the more we start teaching kids at a younger, especially young girls at a young age, that they are strong and they can stand up, then the less this would happen.
Right. Now, do women need an additional voice? I mean, at this age, I mean, you know, the thing is that, you know, women are about half the population and everything. I think they've made or you've made quite some strides in the past few decades. Why do women still need to have a unique voice of their own?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing because women's voices and all of our voices evolve over time. And so what we might be willing and interested in speaking out and speaking up about in one period of our lives may be different than what we are interested in talking about in another age or stage of our existence. Mm-hmm. So a woman's voice and every human being's voice develops in a particular way based on our experiences and our interests. And the beautiful thing about being human is we change.
Yeah.
So that voice and what it sounds like and what it is that we want to discuss and address tends to be different based on who we are in that moment. And that's one of the beautiful things about doing this event for 10 years is that you don't just need to come once. You can come back again and again over the 10 years and find that your voice is changing or find something new that you're interested in talking about and discussing and learning about. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we find is extremely unique. And, you know, you mentioned something about kids. And one of the most important things for us is that that voice starts developing when we're younger. And when we foster and encourage that voice to come out in the teens that we have in our world, it really makes a big difference for them, and it also makes a big difference for us. That's right. Why one of the tickets that we've created is a mother-daughter ticket, which allows teens 16 and older to come to this event accompanied by a parent, and we have a special breakout track for the teens so that they can understand how important it is to get your voice on and really express what's inside. You know, one of the things that we see, for example, in the creative arts sphere is we see people who are able to sing, they're able to dance, they're able to express in these wonderful and encouraging ways, whether it's a comedy, whether it's a tragedy, whether it's something that is in the moment for them, even opera singing. One of the things that we find is that when that spotlight is not on them, sometimes even they have that difficulty just talking to people about what it is that they want to do or do more of.
Right.
And Michelle and I actually have looked at the landscape very closely. We're both extroverted. We're both not afraid to speak up about just about anything. And one of the things that we really were curious about was why. What was happening in us that was different than others, and how could we take what we had and really help and encourage others to not only do it, but also understand how essential it is for them not only to get what they want, but for them to make a difference locally and globally. Right. And that's really something that we identified, that fear, that permission that people feel they need in order to really talk about what it is that's going on inside and what their interest is outside. And for us, we're so excited about Get Your Voice On. It is something that moves us to move others to get to that point where they can really shout it out. And it's a very, very exciting opportunity for us all.
Right. And, you know, I would imagine also, you know, I mean, I can understand the unique voice that women need, because I think we have an epidemic of abuse, you know, oppression and stuff of still of women in our society. And, you know, I was reading something about 1 in 3 women will be assaulted in her lifetime. That's, I think you need a voice for that. I mean, you know, definitely stand up for women and protect them as much as possible.
You know, I think that you bring up a very valid point. And the one other part of this event and this movement that I think is going to be unique is this is for all women, meaning not every woman has the same definition of what it means to get your voice on.
Right.
You know, I have a very good friend of mine who just had a child, and she had the courage to say, you know what, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. Mm. I want to be a stay-at-home mom and at least be home for my daughter's first 2 years. She was had a high level position at her architectural firm, and that took a lot of courage. That took courage. She got her voice out to say that, because this is a woman who thought, I love working 60 hours a week, and all of a sudden that changed.
Yeah.
So we all have a different definition of what Get Your Voice On means, and this conference allows women to come and sometimes just dip their toe in, because I know as a woman, I am very good at speaking out for other people.
Mm.
I am very good at that. And oftentimes we are very good, and men and women together, we're very good about speaking out and support and nurturing and taking care of others. But when it comes to facilitating and tapping into and realizing what we want in our lives, we always put that in the back burner.
Yep.
So this conference is really going to be unique depending on what you are willing to say yes to. what you are willing to say yes to as far as your divine path and your life purpose.
Right. Okay, well, get your voice on, and when is the conference again?
The conference is next March, on March 1st and 2nd, and our website is very easy to remember, www.getyourvoiceon.com. Okay. If you're on Twitter or Facebook, you can also find us there using Get Your Voice On. And we're really excited to have people look at, read, and participate as guest bloggers on our blog on our website, which will be running very shortly. You can look at the current articles that are out there now. And we're very excited to have your listeners join us next March. It's okay. Something you can plan ahead for. New York City is making a great effort to help accommodate those who decide to come with right. lots of information and some discounts. So we're really excited to have you with us.
Wonderful. Awesome. And, yeah, you might as well contact us a couple, you know, when it gets closer to March so we can remind people.
Yeah, exactly. And also, just one really quick question. So when they come to the conference, what exactly are they getting? Obviously, you guys are speaking. Are there going to be a bunch of collaboration of different speakers coming on they get to see? Is it like and it's a 2-day event, so is it like all day long? Like, what exactly, how's the flow go?
Oh, thank you for asking. It's a day and a half event. It starts Friday night. The reason we started it Friday night is to bring people together early on to get centered and to actually learn how to get to hello. Those of us that aren't extroverts often find the idea of going into a room where they might not know anyone to actually start a conversation that doesn't begin with forcing your business card in someone's face yeah. really intimidating. Mm-hmm. So it starts Friday night where women are going to learn and actively participate in learning how to get to hello. That's the night that we are going to have vendors both for not-for-profits as well as for-profits that really support women and issues that are important to women, and not the typical thing as well. You know, this is, women aren't just interested in shopping. We do have other interests. So these vendors will be supporting, you know, all areas of the woman. And as you said, Sam, women do have a voice, and they are in, you know, they're CEOs, they're executives, as well as the stay-at-home mom. So we really are interested in just about any industry out there. And then on the full day Saturday, we are going to have keynotes. I'm excited to say that one of the keynotes that is already confirmed is Debbie Fields, Mrs. Fields Cookies. Mm. I'm sure everybody's had a Mrs. Fields cookie.
Yeah, I think.
And she has this amazing, amazing story that many people aren't aware of. It's about her journey to getting her voice on and saying, you know what, I can be an entrepreneur. Right. And we're going to have breakout sessions in the morning and the afternoon. There's going to be a teen track that is dedicated just to that 16-year-old to 18-year-old, you know, woman that's stepping into it. We're going to have an after party where we celebrate. So there's a lot of stuff that is really going to really tell that person that's attending not to just sit there and take notes on their iPad, but to participate. We're going to have a Get Your Voice On booth where celebrities will be interviewing the participants on camera so they can tell the world what their message is, what their statement, what their power is. And we're going to have an author's corner. We're going to have authors from all over the world there signing books and meeting and greeting women. It's truly going to be an amazing, amazing day and a half.
I actually have a couple people that would be really great speakers that are kind of well known. So I'm going to email you guys and connect you. Cause I think
definitely.
It would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not a woman, but now you made me want to attend. So it sounds pretty good. Okay, getyourvoiceon.com. We have Jennifer and Michelle. All the best to you. And like I said, you know, contact us again when it gets closer so we can remind people. But I think it's a noble thing you're doing, and
I think it's great.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people will benefit from it.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much.
Thank you guys so much.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All the best to you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, and I was talking on this the past couple of days too. I mean, okay, I think it's really important to empower women. And I'm really huge in charities and whatnot. You all know that. But, you know, even me, you know, I go through crazy things in my life. And we do, I don't know, us women get swallowed up and have gotten swallowed up in shitty relationships before, you know. And I was just saying the other day, like, people had asked me, why aren't you doing as much acting as you used to do? Mm. Well, why? You know, I'm trying to now. I'm going back to classes and, you know, I'm trying my best to get back in there because I love it.
Right.
But I stopped because I got involved in a really shitty relationship, and it was awful. And long story short, I just gave it all up.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and then I felt like I wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Because he was very mentally abusive, and so it was like, but I believed it, which was like even crazier. Why? And because like when women get sucked in things, like we get, or at least not women, I'm not gonna generalize. I get sucked into things. Mm. I give it my all, right. And I give it my absolute like everything, and then I get so warped up in whatever that project is, or project could be a guy, whatever. then I just forget about guy. I forget about everything else, and I let myself go, and that's not cool. That's not, you know, what the hell am I doing?
No, you don't want to compromise yourself in a relationship.
Exactly.
Because then there's a lot of resentment. And
But I went through that, and that's what I did. Right. And so it took a lot of empowering, like people empowering me to get back on track to be who I am. And I'm just doing that now, and it's been a long time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So in a way, I mean, and she's right. Like empowering women can be many different things.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I've done so many things in my life that, you know, I went and spoke to a lot of inner city kids, male and female, and you know, they're like, oh my gosh, it's you're on TV, blah blah blah, and then they like, and it's hard because they think that they can never get there, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. And then I went and spoke and like empowered the kids, you know, like it doesn't matter where you come from, kind of thing, and you live in like the poorest of neighborhoods, poorest of family, follow your dreams, you can do it.
Yeah, and you know, I like it because this is the opposite of complaining and being a victim, you know.
Right.
Because many women just, you know, I mean, they feel like victims, and I think they get more of what they want by portraying themselves in that way. But I think it's more noble to just stand out and
stand up and help
stand
others.
Stand up and, yeah.
To not be victims.
Yeah.
I think this is really cool to actually, so it would be less victim-y out there.
Yeah.
Give everyone a voice.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so much for that. Did you hear that Steven Tyler is leaving American Idol?
I did. So is Jennifer, what's her face?
They're saying that both Jennifer and Randy are rumored to leave too.
Well, no, they did. I confirmed this morning.
Really?
Yeah. I get E online updates, text messages.
Yeah, so all of them are leaving?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, not about Randy, but I know Jennifer and Tessie.
Yeah, they're just saying
and, you know, it must be because they're not getting the raises they want or getting paid what they want.
Honestly, I think
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely do. Because second season is when you renegotiate, and then third season, and then you're just not getting the amount of money that you want to get. And then you're like, well, we're going to walk. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
We're
going to
up.
But I can't imagine they wouldn't get the money they wanted. I mean, the show makes so much fucking money.
Who knows? And, you know, it's been on for a long time, too. And it's, you know.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of inner dramas.
Yeah.
I mean, why have so many judges left?
Yeah, they.
You know?
Yeah, that's not what they tell you, but apparently that was. And so he wants, you know, Steven Tyler says he just wants to be back in the band. So, with Aerosmith, so.
Which would be great, because if I love Aerosmith, and if they start recording again, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather have that than you be a judge in some silly show.
Yeah. Actually, they are, a new album is due out in November.
Really?
Yeah. Music from Another Dimension is going to be the name of it.
Woo-woo.
That's their 15th studio album.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I love
them.
They've
made a lot of music.
And they continue to be good again and again and again.
Yeah.
So I know I won't be disappointed this time around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're cool. Definitely cool. I got to tell you this story, man. I mean, this is like shocking. In China, or apparently this 13-year-old boy was working at a car garage, right? Mm-hmm. A repair shop. And what happened is two adults that were working with him assaulted him. With compressed air, they released compressed air into his body through his anus. And
wait, what? Say this again?
Okay, you're not paying attention.
No, I wasn't. I heard anus.
At least we've got listeners here that are.
But at least I admitted it.
Yeah.
I tuned out for 1 second because someone tweeted, and I was reading the Twitter.
That's a way to run a fucking radio show.
Well, it was about the guests, and so I was going to make a comment, and then I was like, remember this, and then I was like, I heard anus.
Yeah. I know, that woke you up.
Huh?
Do you think the listeners want to hear this again now?
Okay,
a 13-year-old boy was working at a car repair shop in China, and two of the adults that worked with him, I guess, were irritated with him or something. They inserted a nozzle of air pump into his anus and filled his body with air.
Shut up.
No. Bully. He suffered so many fucking puncture wounds and his intestines and my God, you know. I mean,
how old was this boy?
13 years old.
13.
I mean, how can you do this, you know, to kids, to anybody?
So I know it's China. Do they get in trouble?
Yeah, I guess they're saying they were detained, these two suspects. But, you know, I don't know what's going to happen.
Wow.
But, yeah. And,
that's just freaking crazy. People are sick and disgusting and twisted.
You know, and especially in like places like this where, you know, it seems like they don't value people's lives the way that we do.
No, but you know what? That shit would happen here in the U.S. You know damn right it would. And you know what it is? It's called bullying. And that whole act that's going on right now with everyone standing up to bullying and you know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is exactly what goes on. This is bullying.
Yeah.
You know, I was bullied when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
But and I used to come home crying, not to that extent, but I would come home crying. People would pick on me. They would take my lunch. They would pull my hair. And I don't know what to do because I was so shy back in the day. So I would just like cry. And then when my dad goes, I give you permission to hit them.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. And so when I did that, then I smacked the kid in the face with my lunchbox when he tried to take it. And I broke his nose. And I was in kindergarten. And, of course, like, I go to the principal's office, and they're suspending me. And then I told my dad, and he's like, why'd you do that? And I think it was, like, a first or second grader that did it, too, like, someone older. And I was in kindergarten. And I'm like, you trying to take my lunch? That's who takes my lunch. And my dad's like, then you're not grounded at all. And my dad stood up and, like, literally went crazy on the principal. This kid bullies her. She stood up. No, you can't punish her for this.
Yeah.
And it was a huge thing. And but see that back then they don't care. But now it's
Exactly. You had to fight for yourself to survive.
Yeah. You know? I did. They used to take all kinds of things from me. Yeah. I was a tiny little thing.
Really?
I was so tiny and little and shy and scared.
Yeah.
I mean, I was an only child like for till I was six.
Wow.
So I didn't know like, you know, and I was a brat. Like I was the angel.
Yeah, anyway, I think everybody gets bullied, you know. I mean, I remember that I did, but you got to stand up for yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember this one time when this guy was a lot stronger than I was, and, you know, sometimes, like, you know, when you're, like, 14, 15, you just fight for fun to see who's stronger and who's, you know, that's
I never
sort of
did
thing.
That.
Yeah. Well, we did. And but then one time I just said, you know, I got like really irritated with him and I just fucking jumped on him and started acting like I was crazy, like I lost my mind. And I pinned him to the floor and everything, you know. I won I beat the fucker.
My brother's done that.
Yeah. And nobody messed with me since then.
I'm laughing because it's so funny. That's something my brother did. And really? I'm like picturing you do this. And it's really hilarious. Because it's true. If my brother's always said, if you act like a complete crazy person, they leave you alone.
Yeah, they're afraid.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh my God, this person's psycho. My brother's like, all you gotta do is run screaming and like pop your eyes out and make everyone crazy. And then they leave you alone. I'm like, that's a really good idea. And then now you say this. I'm like, that's just even weirder.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You gotta stand up for yourself, you know, not be a coward, because if you are, man, that's
well, right. And happens. And but then that's when I stand up for myself nowadays, absolutely, because I was like so much when I was younger picked on, you know. I was an easy target because I would get really upset and really mad, and then I would try not cry because I had to like be tougher and whatever. And then and I would just say stupid things back, and then I would get madder and madder and madder, and then they would start laughing. And so I was the best target, you know. And my dad started teasing me forever to like try and show me how to like fight back. So nowadays I stand up for myself and I won't take that. I won't, you know. But then what happens?
You get in trouble.
I get in trouble. But or people think that I'm crazy, you know. And that's not fair. Because why? Because I stood up for myself.
Right.
Because I'm not going to be abused or picked on or
people
taken advantage
of. People are not used to that kind of response, you know.
Right. But I'm not going to. I'm not. Like, I'm standing up. Like, I'm not going to take it. Who the hell are you to violate my personal space?
Right.
Prime example, the crazy guy here in the elevator.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're coming after me. Mm-mm. I'm going to stand up for myself. I'm sorry that it shocks you completely because you're not used to a woman standing up to you because you're a big dude. You know, well, get used to it, because you just can't go around picking on people, you know, because they're gonna pick on you and do it to you. They're doing it to other people,
right?
Obviously.
Yeah.
You know, which we now know it's many people, but I mean, not just in that situation, there's many situations,
right,
you know, that's happened to, and you just need to stand up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And then they'll leave you alone.
Yeah. Well, let's see, in other news, I have to make a confession, and that is that You know how much I love to read, right?
Yeah.
And I also like physical books a lot.
Did you read you 50 Shades of Grey?
No, I haven't read that.
Oh,
no.
I've started it.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's good.
Yeah, you might as well know what everybody else is talking about for crying out loud.
I want to be in the movie.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the guy that's going to play him is going to be very popular.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I hope it's a complete... I know they're going to try and do a new cast, but they're going to have to pick one person that's known. I'm just wondering who.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah.
They probably will. Who knows? You never know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so anyway... so I like physical books, and I'm like really freaking out about the fact that there's like ebooks and all that stuff, and everything's going to electronic books and stuff. But I gotta make a confession that I bought a Kindle Fire the other day.
Okay.
But I'll tell you why, because I realized there's a lot of books out there that people write and they don't have them printed, you know, because it's so much easier now to just put it on the Kindle or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a lot of books, you know, they're not necessarily like big books. I mean, you know, the books are like that are available in print. I'm going to continue to read those.
Right.
But I found some books that I'd like to read that are not in book form, you know. So
I have.
So I decided to get that. But that's exactly the same thing. It's like when video came out, you know, if you want to be able to watch it, you got to get the machine, you know, with computers, the same thing. You want to play a game, you want to play, you know, a PlayStation game, you got to buy the machine.
Well, I have a question. Okay, so you buy the Kindle, all right? What's the difference between the Kindle and an iPad or the internet?
Yeah, well, first there's like traditional Kindles that are just like very low tech. I mean, it's just like they call it like e-ink, and it doesn't have any backlight or anything. What I have is the Kindle Fire, which is, it is a tablet. And the difference is
that... Can you go on the internet?
Yeah, you can go on the internet.
So it's like the iPad.
It has apps, yeah. You can do a lot of things. You can buy, you know, books and music and movies directly from Amazon and stuff. And since I'm, you know, that's where I get most of my stuff, I thought it's a good good idea, you know. And, no, so the iPad is more like a generalized tablet, and this one's more focused on certain things, you know.
Okay.
So you can't do everything you can do on the iPad... on the Kindle, but at the same time, you know, it gives you a lot of things that you don't have on the iPad. It's smaller, it's easier. I can just grab it in one hand.
Really?
And yeah, and it's really cool. So so far I'm liking it, but like I said, I hate to admit that I'm going the way of digital too with
you're
the
so
books.
Funny.
You know?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying because I prefer a good book. I know what you're saying though. I mean, there are.
It's
many
not as
online.
Fun. It's not as fun reading it on a tablet as it is.
Yeah,
you know,
I couldn't do it.
Hold a book in your hand. But, you know, like I said, there's some stuff that I love to read that's not printed. So, yeah. Which, unrelated thing, I guess Amazon, they're saying, is going to focus now on same-day delivery. And I don't know how the hell they're going to do this, but...
It's really funny because
you know,
I'm on Amazon right now.
Yeah. I know. I spend so much fucking money there on books and shit. You know? So, yeah, so you usually get it like the next day, you know, or within 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently what happens now is that, you know, the way they've been competitive is they don't charge sales tax. So, you know, it's like, so maybe on a book it's not so much. But I remember last year I bought a MacBook Pro. I probably saved over a couple hundred dollars just in sales tax alone.
Wow.
So you can see how they can really kick the ass of retail stores.
Right.
And that's what's happening now at like Best Buy and shit. People go, they find the merchandise they want, they get to hold it and touch it and everything, and then they go online and they buy it online for a lot less. You
exactly
know?
What I do.
So yeah, and that's what a lot of people are doing. And that's why these stores are in big trouble now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they're just like there is a place to look, and then you go online and you buy it. So so what Amazon is doing right now, I guess the government is forcing it to start collecting sales tax. So they figured, well, if we're gonna do that, we might as well just put more plants around the nation, so it'll be easier for us to deliver it, you know, same day. So I can't wait for that, man. I love Amazon.
Yeah, me too.
It's so cool to have the stuff come to you, you know, arrive UPS or whatever.
I know.
And it's fun to buy also.
I agree with that.
Yeah. But you know what? I also don't want bookstores to go away. So sometimes I go to a bookstore and I just buy a book or two there at full price to keep them in business and hoping that other people will do the same thing.
No, I hear you. And I like to give stores... Well, then if you buy it online from that store, then it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like...
I guess, yeah. Like Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And Best Buy and stuff. But that's usually not the case.
Because you do find them cheaper on Amazon. I'm sorry. I buy everything from Amazon pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing is I went to Fry's. Have you ever been to Fry's
Electronics? Yeah, I do like Fry's.
Yeah. So we went there the other day. I haven't been there in a long time. And they have a sign that says, "We match online prices." I mean, can you believe that? It's like, that's a retail store. How the hell are they going to survive?
That's really interesting. Yeah. They must get them really cheap, though, in bulk, is what I'm thinking.
I mean, yeah, they're cheap anyway, you know, but to be able to match online prices with a, you know, with a real store, a physical store, is, you know, is mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. But we'll do it now. Also, Harrison Ford, he's 70 years old today. And I guess he looks every year of it, huh?
He
hasn't aged very well.
He does look a lot older.
He is a good actor, and I have to admit. But, you know, you look at Star Wars, and he was a kid there, you know? Did you ever see the original Star Wars?
Of course I did. I was so obsessed when I was younger that, like I was saying, you had to call me Leia. Yeah. I wear Princess Leia things. I was such a dork.
Really?
Yeah. I was
obsessed. Did you do your hair the way
every day?
Really?
Every day.
Wow.
I know the movies inside and out.
Yeah?
Yep. And I used to play, like, my friend Morgan. He just came to visit a couple months ago. We used to play all the time. And, like, he would be either Han Solo or Luke Skywalker.
Uh-huh.
My other friend would be the other one. And then the fat kid in the neighborhood would be Chewie. The one I didn't like would be Darth Vader. And I was very demanding. I'm like, you're going to be this, and you're going to do that. And they would cry, and I'm like, no, it's my way, or you can't play with me. And I had, like, the best swing set in the neighborhood. So, and my swing set was, you know, our ship. So you couldn't play. And they would cry. And I had all the costumes, too. You can't use my costumes unless you're that. If you don't like it, then get out of my yard. And my mom would come out and be like, Bridgetta! And I'm like, I don't care. He needs to be the... I was such a brat. I ran the whole neighborhood. It was really funny when it came to Star Wars. Yes.
Yeah. Well, he's still with Calista... what was her last name? Calista Flockhart.
Yeah.
Right. And, wow, they've been together for a long time. She still looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she looks very good.
I think it's really hard for people in the industry when you're, like, constantly competing against each other. But I feel like if you're in the industry and you know who you are and you're comfortable with yourself and you're not on the same show, you know, I think it should be, you know, it should be fine. But you have to be comfortable with yourself and your career. Because everyone's going to have their careers going ups and downs, you know?
But I think in this family, he's known as a star, you know? I mean, she hasn't really done anything in a long time.
Not in a long time. She used to have that show.
Yeah.
You know, Ally McBeal.
Right.
And then she
ever since then, she hadn't done anything.
Yeah, but you know what? They've got kids.
Yeah?
So.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I wonder what the difference in ages is. I mean, she looks to me like maybe in her 40s now. And he's 70, you know? That's a big...
I think she's probably in her 40s. I don't know. She might be in her 50s. I know that she has remember she had an eating disorder?
Yeah. She can't be 50. She looks great. I mean, if she is, then I salute her for this. In this picture, she looks great, the one I'm looking at. But, we can Google how old she is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Old Calista Flockhart. Okay. There's nothing like Google, huh?
IMDb.
Yeah, IMDb. they're talking about her kid's age. She's 46 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
So close to 50.
Yeah. Actually, more, because she was born in 64, so she's 48 now. Yeah, she's 48.
Okay.
Yeah, she looks good for 48. But wow, there's a picture here without her makeup. She looks like shit. It's amazing, you know, how those tabloids find the stars, you know, without makeup, you know, dressed like shit and stuff, and then they look awful.
Yeah. I agree. And then you're like, what?
Finally, they have some the highest paid celebrities under 30. Who do you think the top one is? I mean, you'd be tempted to say Justin Bieber, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably is the most paid. He's number two, actually. Taylor Swift makes more than he does. believe it or not.
I believe that.
She made $57 million.
Wow.
I mean, under 30, for crying out loud. This kid is like 19 years old or something, $55 million a year.
It's pretty crazy.
I mean, come on, man. I'm telling you, we're like wasting our time. We're playing with small shit.
I need to get back into it. Bring in the money.
Bring in the money.
Show me the money, honey.
All right. Well, another show in the can.
I'm peeling.
Are you peeling?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you were in the sun a lot, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a great weekend, Brigetta.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you on Monday.
Woo!
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an L.A. talk radio production where we say what we want.